Hello and welcome to In Depth. That is the PSA program on all Lotus radio stations airing right as I speak. Of course, this is Ian Sorensen, your host, and first-time guest in today, Don Seufer, who's with Nevada Action for School Options. Don, thank you so much for coming in, bud.
Thanks for having me in this morning, Ian.
Of course. So, Nevada Action for School Options, give me the lowdown on what you guys are all about, how long you've been around, that sort of thing.
Well, sure. So we're a nonprofit. Our offices are in Las Vegas. We opened for business about 2 years ago, and we believe that every child is entitled to rich, personalized, high quality education opportunities, regardless of what their family's income is or the neighborhood that they live in. Nevada is, we like to call it, the most dynamic education growth landscape in the country. The Census Bureau, which is usually pretty conservative about things like this, says we're going to need about 250,000 new seats in schools over the next 10 years. And as your listeners know, this is on top of a lot of pretty dramatic growth in population, and a lot of that's in the South, but you also know a lot of it's in the North here too.
So significant.
That really creates an opportunity for ecosystems where you really can do some innovative stuff. I mean, we don't have enough teachers, and we have a lot of very large class sizes as it is, and schools are real expensive to build. I mean, the Clark County and the Washoe School District both were downgraded in their bond rating, which makes it more expensive to build schools. And we have the emergence of some really quality schools of choice movement up here. You've got some terrific, really innovative charter schools. You've got some world-class private schools. And in Nevada, that it's not really just a matter of if schools of choice are part of the future, but because of that dynamic landscape for growth, we like to think it's really just a matter of how best to pursue an ecosystem of quality schools that really takes advantage of the best that other states have used and the most innovative and just the best ways of doing things that meet the needs of our families.
I got you. So how long has this organization been around?
So I moved here. I moved to Nevada about 2.5 years ago, and we launched the new nonprofit about 2 years ago.
Oh, about 2 years ago. So you're talking about models from other states. What are there specific models from other states that you guys are thinking about that are really just really affecting, maybe even similar to the Nevada ecosystem that you kind of want to implement?
Well, in different areas, right? So one thing, people can argue until they're blue in the face about the research says this or that. But when it comes particularly to schools of choice, I think what the research really overwhelmingly shows is that the details of programs matter, right? So there's lots of different approaches that have been used in other states. For instance, Washington State has a really innovative way for using teacher licensure and sort of alternative routes to licensure in a way that really helps keep up the demand in a way that's friendly for mid-career professionals who want to become certified and licensed to become teachers. I think that's something that people in Nevada are looking at that might make a lot of sense here.
Okay, interesting. So people not necessarily, that's not their first choice is to be a teacher, but somebody, maybe they've had experience in a certain field and they want to move into teaching. Is that what you're saying?
Well, our need for teachers is so acute here.
Yeah.
And that's not unique among Western states, but
no. It's
not that uncommon to walk into a school or a high school in Clark County and have 36, 37, 38 kids in a classroom. So we need more teachers, and we have to be innovative about how we get them and how we really attract the highest caliber of human capital to the teaching profession.
Right on. So as far as just the spaces in which our kids are going to learn, we have some new schools that are actually going to be built, like 3 or 4, I think, in the coming year or so. Do you think that, is that even going to put a dent as far as the population growth and everything?
Well, a 250,000 new seats, just to give you some example, by far the largest school district in the state, Clark County, which is the fifth largest in the country, has 330,000 kids as it is. So to add 250,000, and those are not all down south. There's a lot of population growth up here, as you know. Mm-hmm. Schools are expensive to build. For instance, some of the schools of choice we've seen, some of the charter schools, some of the private schools are able to do that in neighborhoods where, that are closer to the students who need them most. Sometimes it's difficult for a school district to be able to do that, and that gets into like land use and permit issues as well as just the overall expensive cost of building schools.
Yeah. And then, not only, we're building new schools, but the schools we do have, some of them, many of them have kind of gone into disrepair, which is sort of discouraging to see.
So, I mean, one thing we do see is when you look at polls of all Nevadans, and my nonprofit is going to release its new statewide poll in about a week, there is broad dissatisfaction statewide with the direction of public education, the way things are going, the slow rate of change. So Nevada, and under the last education superintendent, Steve Canavero, committed to being the fastest improving education state in the country. And that's a goal that everybody shares. But improvement is slow. I mean, last year when we saw the state standardized test come out, we saw an improvement statewide of about 1% in proficiency statewide. So it's going to take a lot more innovation and a lot more innovative strategies put into place to get us where we need to be to get to anywhere near close to that improvement in quality.
Okay, so it's a very, very gradual, and you would like to kind of speed it up if possible.
Yeah, and this really is, it's absolutely crucial that we work on improving the public school system, and that when we talk about things like schools of choice and the Opportunity Scholarship Program and the charter school program, this is really about doing everything that it takes to help improve all of our schools and also all of our district schools. And we've seen lots of cases from around the country and all sorts of research that shows that when you do it right, when the details that matter really happen right, that a quality ecosystem includes schools of choice and district schools, and that all schools improve at the same time. And that's really what we're about.
I gotcha. So you want to not only just public, but like charter schools. How do you think they can all kind of support each other?
Well, it's interesting, and really, you know, the details matter. You've got some terrific schools in your listening areas of all types. A good example though that I would point to is in Las Vegas, where you have the Democracy Prep Agassiz campus, which is the only 4 or 5 star middle school within 5 miles of the school. There's another one that serves younger kids, Futuro Academy, that within 2.5 miles there are 37,000 kids that live in that area, but there's not a single 4 or 5 star school that serves those kids. So when you do it right, and also the neighborhood elementary school closest to Futuro Academy is showing pretty impressive quality and improvement in just about every way that you measure it, both in student achievement and growth, as a result of working together, two principals, a charter school and a district principal, working together in some pretty useful ways. And if you do it right, it really can make a powerful difference for all kids.
Yeah, and you don't think about, I mean, you think of schools being kind of insular and kind of they're just their own organism, but I mean, you could have schools that kind of join forces in many ways.
No, that's right. And it's hard business running a school, and school leader or a school founder or a principal is busy doing the urgent business of running their school.
Yeah, nuts and bolts.
But when we think about it, it's really ecosystem management, and this is how it's really worked best in states and school and areas that have really gotten it right. You really can work together. You need to connect with a business community that can support schools of choice and district schools, and you do it in meaningful ways. You get the sort of stewardship of schools of an entire community, and that's really why we're here, and that's the work that we look to support.
Yeah, and because it's not a separate thing. I mean, everyone that's why it's called a community, because everyone's working together. You have nonprofits such as yours, you have businesses, you have schools. Everyone is a part of the same, as you said, ecosystem.
You do, and you have businesses that get involved with things like scholarships. You have a terrific and growing base of a philanthropy community with the Wiegand Foundation and the Engelstad Foundation and groups like that. But as we really learn to do this well and really get this right, that success becomes contagious. And I think that Nevadans have a real appetite for that. That goes with the dissatisfaction in the way schools are going now. And we can really make that all work for all kids, and not just the kids that can afford to move to an area where the schools are better or afford to pay a private school tuition on their own.
Yeah, that's usually a big problem with low income, is they just don't, you know, they don't have the resources and they can't go to somewhere where they'll feel, I guess, treasured a little bit more.
That's right. I mean, one thing that our poll coming out in a week or so shows is that Nevadans make tremendous sacrifices to support their kids' education, whether it's moving their home to a different neighborhood or taking on a second job. And this happens particularly in families of color. And when we see families willing to make these sort of sacrifices and communities really wanting to work together, it's on us as an education system to figure out ways to work together to really make it more effective.
Meet them halfway at the very least.
Yeah, I think
which would be a nice thing. So we're talking about private companies helping out kind of schools in our community. But what about governmental-wise? I mean, I've been to your website. I've seen some updates from Carson City, maybe with the legislature. What's kind of on the docket that you've seen?
Well, you know, as you know, when you listen to the elected types, education is something that they talk about a lot. And with this new session, education generally is really defining a lot of the important proceedings. Now, the new governor, the new Democrat from the South, who's the governor of the state for the first time in a long time, has said right away that he really wants to meet this need, but is also not willing to raise new taxes to do it. And there's some conversations on the margins about how some
rumblings
of those taxes
on
are going
side,
to go.
I'm sure, yeah.
But when you look at the education committees, and you know, you have some elected representatives from this area, from Heidi Gansert and Ben Kiekheffer to Jill Tolles and Ira Hansen on the education committees, to Sarah Peters, who's really making a strong impression for herself as a real smart lawmaker. These conversations really need to focus and are increasingly focusing on, well, so everybody has a solution, and just about every education group under the sun has come forward with a plan, and occasionally a pretty expensive plan that's going to help move things forward. It's up to the lawmakers to figure out some innovative ways to make enough of it work that we can afford and really keep progress moving forward. And that's really the business of the legislature and education this session.
Okay, so just kind of thinking, and it's kind of hard to think long term, but you have to make like a 5-year plan for pretty much any huge things, and you don't know if it's working until, you know, 3 or 4 years in or something.
At an early hearing, the chairman of the Assembly Education Committee, Tyron Thompson, said something interesting. He was hearing a really compelling conversation from the organization representing school counselors. And certainly Nevada schools and every school needs more school counselors.
Definitely.
And he said, you know, we here in the legislature are hearing great tales of need from all directions. And it's up to us as responsible lawmakers to really distinguish what the crucial need is and the affordable need that we can address. And that's really what we're going to see over the next 3.5 months as we sort of move towards solutions that at least get us on the right track as often as we can.
Okay, very cool. Well, how can people find out more about the Nevada Action for School Options?
Well, thanks for asking. We're at nevadaaction.org. As I mentioned, we've got regular weekly updates on the legislature. We've got an exciting new poll coming out next week, and all our contact information. I'm don@nevadaaction.org. I'd really love to hear from your listeners. If you've got questions or things that you want to pose to lawmakers, we're in Carson City every day. We'd love to hear from you and love to help.
Okay, that's fantastic. Don Soifer, I want to thank you so much for coming in and talking so eloquently.
It's a real
about
pleasure.
This.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.